Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. The first order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana from the Advocate Official Journal for the State of Louisiana and from respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 42575 through 42591 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. Letters of protest. We received two letters of protest from Salt Domes Partnership dated March 16, 2012 on tract numbers 42586 and 42588. The staff has reviewed these tracts and they will remain up for today's lease sale. There would be no tracts recommended to be withdrawn from today's sale, and we will proceed with the opening of the bids.
Good morning. We received one bid on track 42575, advertised as 2,363.8 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 412.67 acres. The bidder is Antrim Exploration, LLC. Antrim Exploration, LLC. The bid is for a five-year primary term with a cash payment of $92,850.75. $92,850.75, or a per-acre value of $225. Annual rentals are $46,426. $46,426. Royalties are 22%. We received two bids on track 42576, advertised as 2,086.66 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 121.08 acres. The bidder is Success Energy, LLC. Success Energy, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $27,286.59. $27,286.59, or a per-acre value of $225.36. Annual rentals are $13,644. $13,644. Royalties are 22%. The second bid on track 42576 is for a portion containing 889.91 acres. The bidder is Antrim Exploration, LLC. Antrim Exploration, LLC. The bid is for a five-year primary term with a cash payment of $200,229.75. $200,229.75. Or a per-acre value of $225. Annual rentals are $100,115. $100,115. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 42577. We did receive one bid on track 42578, advertises 211.12 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 211.12 6.12 acres. The bidder is Success Energy, LLC. Success Energy, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $110,979.45. $110,979.45, or a per acre value of $525.67. Annual rentals are $55,490. $55,490. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on track 42579. We did receive one bid on track 42580, advertised as 87 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 35 acres. The bidder is K Exploration Company. K Exploration Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $9,205. $9,205, or a per acre value of $263. Annual rentals are $4,602.50. $4,602.50. Royalties are 24%. We received one bid on track 42581, advertised as 288 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 104 acres. The bidder is K Exploration Company. K Exploration Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $27,352. $27,352, or a per acre value of $263. Annual rentals are $13,676. $13,676. Royalties are 24%. We did not receive any bids on track 42582 or 42583. We did receive two bids on track 42584, advertised as 208 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $78,208, $78,208, or a per acre value of $376. Annual rentals are $39,104, $39,104. Royalties are 22.5%. The second bid on track 42584 is for the entire track. The bidder is Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $104,208, $104,208, or a per acre value of $501. Annual rentals are $52,104. $52,104. Royalties are 21%. We received two bids on track 42585, advertised as 233 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $116,733. $116,733, or a per-acre value of $501. Annual rentals are $58,367. $58,367. Royalties are 21%. The second bid on track 42585 is for the entire track. The bidder is Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $87,608. $87,608, or a per-acre value of $376. Annual rentals are $43,804. $43,804. Royalties are 22.5%. We received two bids on track 42586, advertised as 14 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $5,264. $5,264. Or a per-acre value of $376. Annual rentals are $2,632. $2,632. Royalties at 22.5%. The second bid on track 42586 is for the entire track. The bidder is Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $7,014. $7,014, or a per-acre value of $501. Annual rentals are $3,507. $3,507. Royalties are 21%. We received two bids on track 42587, advertised as 248 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $124,248. $124,248, or a per-acre value of $501. Annual rentals are $62,124. $62,124. Royalties are 21%. The second bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $93,248. $93,248, or a per-acre value of $376. Annual rentals are $46,624. $46,624. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on tract 42588 or 42589. We did receive one bid on tract 42590, advertised as 40 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Mustang Exploration, LLC. Mustang Exploration, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $10,480. $10,480, or a per-acre value of $262. Annual rentals are $5,240. $5,240. Royalties at 22.5%. We received one bid on tract 42591, advertised as 10 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,500. $3,500, or a per-acre value of $350. Annual rentals are $1,750. $1,750. Royalties are 23%. And that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
Mr. Diaz, Mr. Ingram, Mr. Martin, Mr. Sanders, Ms. Smith, and Mr. Klein. The Lease Review Committee will now be called into session. We have a quorum. Mr. Talbot, would you please present the agenda?
Yes, sir. Chairman Smith and members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. There are 1,885 active leases covering nearly 845,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 175 leases covering 104,000 acres. And of the 175, there are 13 leases covering 8 oil and gas fields to discuss in more detail today. We begin with state leases in Eloy Bay and Half Moon Lake, those leases being State Lease 220, 2221, 4039, 4147. The committee last reviewed these leases on July 13, 2011. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept Cox Operating LLC's partial releases on each lease and to provide a status update on the original prospect affecting State Lease 220 by April 13, 2012. By letter dated March 28, 2012, Cox reported that they had furnished OMR the recorded partial releases of their interest in each lease. Cox outlined their 2012 plans for Eloy Bay and Half Moon Lake Fields, which includes two new drills, one recompletion, and three workovers. More specifically, Cox plans to re-enter the State Lease 4039, number 13, and drill to 6,700 TVD, and they plan to recomplete the 2220, number 116 well, into the 6150 sand. The second well to be drilled will be located in an offsetting state lease, but within the field. The staff recommends accepting Cox's report and that they be granted until October 10, 2012, to provide an update of well activities, including new drills, recompletions, and any workovers. Moving on to our next field, Grand Isle Block 18 and Block 16, State Lease 797 and 799. Energy 21 is our lessee. The committee last reviewed these leases on May 11, 2011. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Energy 21 until April 9, 2012 to submit a plan of development for the non-productive portions of these leases. By letter dated March 22, 2012, Energy 21 reported on three recompletions and one workover. Of the four wells, two wells remain shut in due to high pipeline pressure, while only one well is actively producing. Energy 21 also reported that plans are underway to install a compressor in the field to bring the two additional wells to producing status. The staff recommends that Energy 21 be granted until October 10, 2012 to report on remedial efforts to the high pipeline pressure problem and any other lease activity. Are there any questions? Moving on to Lake Rackesee Field, State Lease 1450, 1451, and 1480. ExxonMobil Corporation is our lessee. The committee last reviewed these leases on December 14, 2011. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept ExxonMobil's report and to grant them until March 14, 2012 to report on the finalization of the form out agreement. By letter dated March 14, 2012, Exxon reported that a form out agreement to Hillcorp Energy has been granted effective December 16, 2011. ExxonMobil also reported that Hillcorp is currently reprocessing an ExxonMobil geophysical data set to identify possible new prospects. Now, last month's lease sale, Hillcorp bought several new state leases directly west of these leases. This may be of some indication that Hillcorp will be very active between Lake Bouret and Lake Rackesee Fields. The staff recommends accepting ExxonMobil's report and to grant ExxonMobil and or Hillcorp until January 9, 2013 to report on possible new prospects resulting from the geophysical study. Are there any questions? Moving on to State Lease 199, designated Area 1 in the Bay St. Helene Field. Now, Burlington Resources remains our lessee. However, Hillcorp Energy is the operator of the wells in the field. There's an assignment that's been delayed due to some outstanding audit issues with mineral income with Burlington Resources. Until those issues are resolved, Burlington will remain our lessee. However, the reporting has been from Hillcorp. The committee last reviewed these leases on September 11, 2011. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept Hillcorp Energy's report to request the status report by March 14, 2012. By letter dated March 9, 2012, Hillcorp reported on two recompletions and two workovers performed in the Bay St. Helene field for a cost just under $6.5 million. The workover performed on the Bay St. Helene Unit 13, number 16 well, directly affects this designated area by adding additional productive acres. Well operations since last report increased overall production in the field. Hillcorp also stated that they plan to spend some $9 million on new field activity from well tubing replacement to a water flood project. The staff recommends accepting Hillcorp's report and to grant Hillcorp until October 10, 2012 to report on activities affecting this lease. Are there any questions? Moving on to Four Isle Dome Field, State Lease 724. Same situation, Burlington Resources remains our lessee. However, Hillcorp is the operator in the field. The committee last reviewed these leases on September 11, 2011. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept Hillcorp Energy's report and to request a status report by March 14, 2012. By letter dated March 9, 2012, Hillcorp reported on a plug back in the LL State Unit 19, number 2, to the lower 75 sand at a cost of approximately $219,000. Hillcorp also stated that they would begin activity on two wells at the cost of $478,000. The well activities included adding perforations to the LL&E State Unit 22, number 2 well, and recompleting the LL&E State Unit 22, number 9 well in the 63 sand. In addition, Hillcorp has identified a new drill prospect affecting this lease with an expected cost of $14 million. Hillcorp will be seeking partners to join in the expense of the well. Staff recommends accepting Hillcorp's report and to grant Hillcorp until October 10, 2012 to report on activities affecting this lease. Are there any questions? And lastly, Vermilion Block 16, Harvest Oil and Gas is our lessee on State Lease 3762 and 3763. On April 3rd, 2012, the staff met with representatives of Harvest Oil and Gas concerning the drilling of a well with a mandatory spud date of April 12, 2012. Due to concerns involving rig availability, the staff agreed to grant Harvest an extension until May 6, 2012 to spud. That concludes my portion of lease review. Mr. Charles Bradbury for Force Majeure.
Morning, Chairman Smith, members of the board.
Morning.
The staff has requested that Stone Energy appear before the board to explain why production remains off now more than 1 year on three leases. One of those, 15074, we are receiving gas shut-in payments on. So State Lease, the primary ones of concern right now are 17309 and Operating Agreement A0285. Is there a representative with Stone?
Good morning. I think y'all probably are aware.
Yes.
Oh, Steve Bodden, Stone Energy. I'm the production engineering manager. Got Cy Latchley. He's our land man. We brought our staff that's been working on this project. Got Lois Edwards. She's in our HSE department. Corey Tarrow. He's our production superintendent. And Neil Matthews is the ENC engineer that's been working on this project.
Thank you.
Probably know this property's been offline since January of 2011. Our gas purchaser, TGP, had a pipeline leak in their 26-inch line. Went offline, that took our gas sales away. We've been working very hard. I've got a little presentation. I don't know if y'all want to get in that much detail, but where we stand right now is we have equipment out on location. We've just laid, or we're in the process of laying a line that's going to allow us to hook back up. We've rerouted, or we're rerouting our gas outlet to bring to our Cayo Boca tank battery facility. And we're expecting to be online or finish up that project at the end of May. So I've got a little presentation, like I mentioned. You know, really when you boil it down, I think the biggest thing is there's been 11 companies involved not 11 companies. There's been 11 total agreements between 7 total companies. And it's just been kind of a mixed bag of things, and we've had some issues, but that's really been our biggest problem, I think, is trying to pull all these companies together. What's ended up happening is it's very low priority for them. You know, for us, it's pretty high priority. Before this event, we were producing a little over 1,000 barrels a day. I think July of last year, we were granted a flare permit. We've been producing at less than half that rate, about half that rate. So, you know, we've been working real hard. We've got an AFE approved for $1.5 million to complete this work that's currently ongoing. We think we're real close to finishing up. Like I said, we're probably a month and a half. We've got equipment. We've got a full spread of lay barge on location right now working, and we think we're going to be finished up. Our target date's May 21st. Let me just real quickly, I'll go through exactly our current activity. Like I said, we've got the equipment on location. We've completed jetting, and this is just a little more detail of what we've done to date. Installing submar mats on the TGP line that's currently out of service. We're laying the 4-inch line to connect a Pisces line that we had to work an agreement with them, and also we had to purchase a line from Hillcorp. And we're tying those two together, which is going to give us a gas outlet, basically, for this field. After that, we've got to flush the Pisces line, and that's going to be pending Apache's P&A work that they've got to do so we can get on board their platform. And, again, there's another agreement that we've got to get a boring agreement. So that's really been the complications. I think the biggest thing is just the number of companies that have been involved. And we, like I said, we've had 11 total agreements that we've had to get, and that's been the biggest time delay. I'm gonna just a brief kind of run through. You know, this occurred in January 2011. January through March, we started looking for other outlets for our gas, thinking that TGP might not make the repairs. In March of 2011, we notified the state of the potential force majeure situation. We also made the applicable gas payment shut in March of 2011. We amended the lease amendment. We made the lease amendment to include the force majeure language, which also occurred in April. And it was in April of 2011 that TGP finally notified us of their intention to not repair the line because, you know, of course, at that time, we were thinking they were going to repair the line. If they repaired the line, then we were going to come back online. So it took quite a while before we even knew for sure what we were faced with. May through June, we evaluated a couple of different options, made the choice to do the option that basically we have underway right now. In July 2011 was when we met with the State Mineral Board and for permission to flare and request the force majeure extension. In July 2011, we surveyed the pipeline that we're in the process of laying right now. We did that survey back in July 2011. August, we approved the AFE for $1.5 million to go ahead and do the work we're doing right now. We completed a pipeline ownership agreement in August. September 2011, we applied for a pipeline permit with the Office of Coastal Management. were granted the right-of-way for the new pipeline in November. In January of 2012, we finished the pipeline crossing agreements with TGP and Hellas. I don't know, y'all probably seen a map, but I've got a map if y'all want to see, but it's very complicated. This facility is, we call it our Cayo Boca tank battery facility, but it's right there. What's the?
Shipshow Block 483.
Yeah. It's kind of right there at the Barrier Island, so that's where the main processing takes place. So there's a lot of flow lines in that area, so crossing agreements had to, we had a lot of those to do. In February, the Pisces and Texas gas agreements were finalized. In March of 2012, the Hillcorp agreement finalized. And now, you know, right now we have all the agreements in place. That's why we're out on location. Really, the last agreement that we have to do is just the boarding agreement with Apache to basically get on their platform to finish the flushing and filling. So, you know, it has been a long time. We've certainly been motivated. We've been working toward getting this thing solved. It's just been very complicated, and the primary complication has been just the number of companies and the number of companies involved that had really no motivation. I mean, they have little to no financial stake in the matter. It was more just they're kind of working with us. We were given the pipeline from Hillcorp, not given, but we worked out a deal basically that we're taking P&A liability, things like that. And we pressure tested the pipeline, so we're confident. We feel confident that once we get this new line laid to make that final connection, that we'll be able to come online toward by the end of May. That's really it. I mean, that's where we are right now. That's a timeline of the things that we've been working on, and it's coming together now, and we hope to be online, like I said, by the end of May. Any questions?
I have a question. Sanders, please. Could you do a rough calculation? What's the market value to y'all of a barrel of oil at a number, 100,000 barrels? Is that what you're doing a day?
We're doing around 450 right now. Before we had this event, we were making a little over 1,000. So we still have the wells, the higher GOR wells are shut in, of course. So we think we're still losing 5 to 550. You want the estimate of the 500 barrels?
Well, I was just trying to do a rough calculation of whatever your market value of oil is, oil,
right,
per day, times 30 times 14 or 15 months, translates out to many tens of millions of dollars.
That's why this has been a very high priority project for us. We've got staff. We've been working, you know, basically as hard as we could, but it's kind of like pulling teeth sometimes to get people that essentially have no motivation to try to get this accomplished.
Am I understanding it right that Stone is the primary leaseholder?
Correct.
And Stone has the obligation to this state to develop this prospect and get it back on land?
Correct.
That's correct.
And you've been having problems with investors in y'all's organization?
Not investors, other operators and other pipeline owners and that kind of thing. Not investors. The partners are fully on board with doing it. I didn't mean to imply that it was. It's not the interest owners of the leases. This is... you know, the whole plan calls for using some existing lines that were not being used, some of that kind of stuff. So taking ownership of those lines, working with other operators to get that ownership.
And what do you estimate the loss of total of gross revenue to Stone over the last 14 months?
That's 500 is basically $50,000 a day
times $1.5 million a month on 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Times 14 is fair.
Yeah, so 15 plus million.
Has there been any delay in ability to procure material and contractors?
No, we haven't. We haven't run into any problems like that. It hasn't been operational delays. It's more been really. That's what I would say. Right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the biggest delays have been the agreements approaching third party operators to you know, give them our best game plan, and they just don't have any financial incentive to you know, get moving. And that's been the big struggle for us, was, you know, getting all these guys on board. Everything's a low priority for these, especially pipeline companies. And in the midst of it, a major pipeline company we were dealing with, Tennessee Gas, their parent company gets sold, El Paso. So it delayed, you know, it's just one thing after another, and it's been a struggle for us. And we really appreciate the board's understanding and the office members or the staff.
Has the problem been solved?
Well, we're very close. We have one more agreement, like Steve said, to get in place, but this is pretty much a standard agreement, and we feel comfortable with our relationship with Apache that you know, they'll be amenable to working with us here. The major agreements were acquiring the pipelines, obtaining usage in the pipelines. Those have been completed, and you know, we're ready to, and we have begun work on the pipeline late, so we're ready to restore production.
One example of the, you know, Apache has a lease to the east of us,
correct?
And, you know, we tried to work out a deal with them to help pay some of the cost and basically enter into a joint agreement. Well, you know, they didn't have near the production at stake, and they chose to step out of the path that we chose. So it's things like that that kind of led to this. Is, you know, we couldn't really come to terms. They have different financial, I mean, we obviously, like you're stating, have a huge financial interest in this getting done as soon as possible. You know, we couldn't get them on board with our plan, and they've chosen a different route, basically. So
respectfully, you estimate next month that you're going to have it online?
By the end of May, we think we're going to have it on.
When was the last time that Stone representatives meeting with the board staff?
July.
We met here in Baton Rouge in July on a flaring issue, but we've been providing monthly updates with the force majeure situation, right, on a monthly basis.
Have we had any difficulty in communication and them regularly reporting to us?
They've been very good about letting me know what's going on as things are going. We've just reached a point where the language in the lease requires that to extend it further. It requires the board's recognition. The practice has been to bring people in to talk to the board directly about it. And there is one question I have. With all these other parties, after you have woven this series of pipelines together, are any of them going to be able to benefit from what all of your additional efforts?
Well, it's pretty much, we assumed use on the Pisces line that wasn't being utilized. Their benefit will be later on down the road when it's time to P&A the line. We assumed 50% of the cost there.
Mm-hmm.
The Hillcorp lines, we've actually outright, we own them. We've negotiated that, so they're ours. They're, you know, Hillcorp had no use for them. They had a well that was plugged, and they were just, you know, happy to give us the P&A liability. So we took full ownership of that line. The new line that we're installing will be 100% Stone for the benefit of us and our partners, production in the field. So to answer your question, it's going to benefit us pretty much solely.
I have a question as well.
Just one more, please. One more observation. Sure. My questions are not directed in a manner of pique, or it's just more frustration that for 14 months we're sitting here with the state receiving no return except the shut-in payments. I'm sure, as the lessee holder, that Stone recognizes the necessity to get it done, and get it done as you represented within the deadline of a month and next, actually about 6 weeks or so, plus or minus.
Absolutely. We absolutely, like I said, we've been working these contracts and agreements and things as diligently as we can. You know, we've essentially had stranded oil with no gas purchaser in this field or anywhere near. We were actually going to tie the gas, and you guys, I'm sure, are all aware, to Texas Gas. They just had a place that we're tying into, just had an incident in the marsh around, we're tying into Bay Round. So it just seems like this whole project in a way has been a bit snake bit that we've now found a purchaser, we found a line, we're going to send our gas to our Cayo Boca tank battery facility, which is going to send the gas to this Bay Round platform that's going to tie into, or that ties into Texas Gas, and now they've apparently got an incident. So, you know, we've looked and we went through everything we could to try to find another outlet for our gas, and, you know, obviously we couldn't produce a high-GOR oil wells without a gas outlet, so we went through all these agreements, looked at all the potential possibilities, and came up with this plan, and it's just really been, like we said, the working with all the other companies that had no real incentive to work with us was time-consuming and difficult.
For the record, Tom Sanders here. Thanks for your cooperation and questions and answers today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The original force majeure was because of ruptured pipe. Is that correct?
So yes, sir.
And then it took us almost a year to get the pipe repaired and a safe way for y'all transport.
They chose not to repair their pipe. We had to go find another gas sales outlet.
Which is still recognizable as a force majeure event, right, until they found that?
Yes, sir.
The problem is now you have a way to do it. You say you can get it done within 6 weeks. I think we're all understandable. We feel 90 days is enough time to get it done. The extension for 90 days, is that fine?
No, sir. It's not a problem at all. I mean, my recommendation was going to be to give them another 90 days, and during that 90 days either get the leases back on or proceed with amending the leases to provide for shutting payments for oil wells.
Okay.
And
which wouldn't be necessary if everything's done within the 6 weeks, what they're saying.
Yeah, if they're all done here in the next, you know, 6 weeks, or the 90 days that you give us or to give them, then that none of that would be necessary at this time.
Okay. I'd like to make that a formal motion.
Second. Sanders.
First, sir, is there any public comment to this motion? I have a motion for Mr. Arnold, a second for Mr. Sanders. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number two, Mr.
Thank you, gentlemen, ladies.
Thank you.
Item number two, to bring to the board's attention, this is for Harvest Operating LLC. This is a lease that got shut in November. They had a, trying to remember the exact one on this. For some reason, I'm drawing a blank. Anyways, the board had granted, when we recognized it, we had granted 90 days until this meeting as the first force majeure period. We are requesting today to get a second extension to the July 11, 2012 board meeting to reestablish production and complete the pipeline repairs and facility connections.
Thank you. Any comments from the board? Any public comments? Do I have a motion? Mr. Arnold? Mr. Sanders seconds.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries.
Other than that, the other ones remaining on here are, we're still tracking them. I've heard that, I've had promises that maybe one of these from the Harvest Group, which is a different Harvest, A0311 might be on this month, and we're hopeful.
Do you need any other board approval?
No, we're good. This is for informational purposes only.
Thank you. Mr. Tabbert, do you have any more comments?
No, sir.
Okay. I need a – well, are there any questions from the board? Any public comments?
Do you need a motion to accept the court's staff report?
Second, Sanders.
Motion for Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
I have a motion for Mr. Segura, a second by Mr. Sanders. I hereby adjourn the lease review committee. Is adjourned. Thank you.
I'd like to call to order the Nomination Tract Evaluation Committee. This time we'll have a roll call. Mr. Harper? Mr. Segura? I think he's here. Mr. Arnold? Mr. Diaz? Mr. Ingram? Mr. Morton? Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith? Mrs. Smith? Mr. Klein? Okay, we have a quorum. Good morning, Ms. Fontenot.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, ladies and gentlemen. Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 17 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parish where the lands are located for today's lease sale. We received two letters of protest from Salt Domes Partnership, both dated March the 16th, 2012, pertaining to tract 42586 and tract 42588, situated in St. Martin Parish, Louisiana. The staff reviewed the most recent state lands water bottoms layer and determined that the aforementioned tracts contained claimable water bottoms. Therefore, tracts 42586 and 42588 were advertised correctly and are to be left up for today's lease sale. 46 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the June 13, 2012 lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. It is requested that one of the inland nominations of the 46 nominations being tracked or being nomination 12060112 be advertised with a 5-year primary term in lieu of a 3-year primary term. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned tracts received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the June 2012 lease sale.
Okay, I need a motion and second to accept the staff recommendation.
Sanders,
motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Diaz. Any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Motion and second to adjourn this committee. Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? Any opposed? The committee is adjourned. Thank you, Mr. Fontenot.
Thank you.
I'd like to take roll for audit committee. Mr. Darrell Smith?
Here.
Mr. Juba Diaz?
Here.
Mr. Emil Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Hopper?
Here.
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Morton?
Here.
Mr. Klein? And myself, we have a quorum. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Rachel.
Item number one on the audit agenda is a penalty waiver request from Castex Energy Incorporated for a penalty in the amount of $79,054.92, billed for the late payment of royalty. On March 1st, 2012, Castex paid the state a total of $234,688.58 in late royalty for disposition dates of January 2006 through October 2006. The payment was not related to a field audit. Castex submitted payment late because they were unaware the royalty originally paid to the state was incorrect. Interest in the property is currently held by another royalty owner. On December 5, 2011, the current royalty owner and the state were alerted by certain overriding royalty interest owners of a voluntary union agreement dated December 14, 2005. The state subsequently notified Castex of the error on prior payments. Castex made every effort to correct the error in a timely manner. Castex was billed and paid $99,213.71 in interest on March 19, 2012. The current royalty owner, Energy 21, appeared before the board last month on this same issue, just in case it sounds a little familiar to y'all. Castex maintained royalty interest prior to Energy 21. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, staff is recommending that no penalty be waived because royalty was outstanding for more than 6 years. The amount owed would remain $79,054.92. It is the current policy of the Office of Mineral Resources to treat all items submitted on a single state royalty report as a whole. In determining the outstanding royalty period for late payments, the earliest disposition date on the report is used as measure. penalty protocol allows for a 75% reduction for royalty outstanding 3 years or less, a 50% reduction for royalty outstanding less than 6 years, and no reduction for royalty outstanding more than 6 years. Castec's state royalty report was submitted on March 1, 2012. The total royalty outstanding for more than 6 years on this particular report was $982.19. It only included royalty due for the month of February 2006. Representatives are here and would like to address the board.
I have a question, Rachel, first. So the state and CASTEX were both unaware?
Correct. Energy 21, CASTEX, and the state, all of us were unaware.
Once it became aware, once both of us became aware, how long was it before?
Aware in December 5th of 2011. Mm-hmm. It took a little while to research it, so it was sometime around January, the end of January, when everything was settled and we decided this was in fact.
So the state was made whole with both payments and interest.
Correct.
Any other comments from the committee? Or? Go ahead, guys.
Thank you, Rachel. My name is Scott Patton. On behalf of CASTEX, I'm here with Mr. Steve Taylor. We appreciate the staff's summary of the process, and like I said, we were here last month for Energy 21 on a similar issue, and Rachel kind of told the story better than I could have, and I think that the main objective that we want to get across is that, you know, this issue was brought to our attention by overriding royalty interest owners in State Lease 340 by letter in early of December 2011. It was later verified by the state. Jason Talbot sent us an email in mid-December of 2011, and then after all the companies kind of looked at the whole of the data, they realized that, in fact, they weren't paying incorrectly. And we submitted payment on March 1st, 2012, of over $234,000. Then a couple weeks after that, we submitted the interest payment of $99,000. I'll let Mr. Taylor kind of give you a little more background on the process of how this kind of oversight occurred.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, board members, for hearing us. We bought this property, the State Lease 185, 340 number 185 well from Chevron a number of years ago. We had the offsetting designated areas. At that time, when we had the designated areas, we formed a voluntary unit for an offsetting well. And that was the basis of the offsetting well payments. Shortly before we sold to Energy 21, some months before we sold to them, our engineers recompleted the number 185 well that we had bought from Chevron, and unknown to us, this well was also in this voluntary unit. The decks from Chevron were for a lease basis payment, and that was how our accounting group paid the well. Shortly after payments were established, probably payments hadn't even received the state at that time, we sold to Chevron, to Energy 21, and Energy 21 carried it forward. In these proceedings, we let Energy 21 take the lead since they had a far greater burden on this than we did, and we're now following up with our piece of it. So we appreciate your consideration and any kind of work that we could get on this. Thank you.
Considering the circumstances, I'd like to recommend or make a motion for 100% waiver of the penalty.
So Mr. Gore made a motion to waive 100%. It's been seconded by Mr. Smith. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 2.
We would like to withdraw item number 2 from the audit agenda. Payment was actually received on April 9th.
Item number 2 is withdrawn.
We would also like to remove item number 3. This one was actually paid this morning.
Even better. Item 3 withdrawn.
Item number 4 is a recoupment request from XTO Energy Incorporated for an overpayment in the amount of $87,013.39. State lease numbers involved are 12806, 15683, 17674, 17675, and 17942. For the sales months of February and October 2011, XTO paid oil royalties based on estimated volumes and values, which resulted in an overpayment. Staff has reviewed documentation and confirmed the overpayment and recommends that XTO Energy Incorporated is allowed to recoup this overpayment from future royalties.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Yeah, motion by Mr. Segura to accept staff's recommendation, second by Mr. Smith. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any from the public? Is anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item 5.
Item number 5 is a recoupment request from XTO Energy Incorporated for an overpayment in the amount of $65,540.01. State lease numbers involved are 01450, 01451, 1451LS, 16563, and 16564. For the sales months of May and December 2011, XTO paid oil and gas royalties based on estimated volumes and values, which resulted in an overpayment. Staff has reviewed the documentation, confirmed the overpayment, and recommends that XTO Energy Incorporated is allowed to recoup this amount from future royalties.
Move to accept staff's recommendation.
Second. Move by Ms. Segura, second by Mr. Sanders to accept staff's recommendation. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item 6.
Item number 6 is a request for the State Mineral and Energy Board to adopt a resolution to require all payers remitting royalty payments in excess of $25,000 annually for the previous calendar year to submit state royalty reports exclusively using the Office of Mineral Resources online state royalty reporting system. In October 2009, the Mineral Income Division implemented an online state royalty reporting system whereby payers could upload and submit their SR reports on a monthly basis. The system is designed with specific controls in place that prevent the user from submitting incorrect reports. When errors are noted, the system notifies the user and/or rejects the report. The upfront validation is key to reduce manual auditing for our royalty reporting auditors each and every month. All paper SR reports must be manually keyed into the database, increasing the rate of error and time to process. And some of these reports are hundreds and hundreds of lines that have to be manually keyed into the system. At present, approximately 30% of all royalty payers use the online reporting system. Staff asks adoption of the resolution to capture all major payers to the state of Louisiana, which will greatly reduce our time taken to audit, enter, and process the reports each month, freeing auditors to concentrate on other royalty reporting audit issues.
I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation to adopt this resolution.
Second.
Move by Mr. Segura, second by Mr. Sanders. Any comments or questions for the committee? I'm
surprised only 30% use it. Is it user-friendly?
Well, we've offered numerous training. We had the supervisor went over to Houston a couple of years ago, provided extensive training for a number of payers. I mean, we've actually gone out to them to do it.
Yeah.
We provide training at the seminars. I'm sure you've seen them. I'm a little surprised, too. Yes. We get a lot of enthusiastic feedback, but unfortunately not as many takers as we'd like.
Is there a transitional period set up for this?
We would like it to become effect, in October of 2012, when they submit the reports for October 2012.
Okay, and we'll make them aware of this.
Yes. It'll be posted on the Internet, on our website, and we'll also send out emails to all of our payers to let them know.
Mr. Sanders, any question?
Ms. Rachel, do we have an adequate enforcement method here to require it? Just simply because we tell them to do it, do they have to, by law, do it?
They do have to do it. If they do not do it and they do not abide by the resolution, we do have penalties in place via incorrect reporting that they could be penalized for.
The lease form itself allows when royalty is submitted, that the board can stipulate what other documents are to be submitted with the royalty payment and how it's to be done. So if the board, as a policy decision, states that they are to do it by online, then it becomes part of the lease, and it's subject to the penalties for improper reporting of royalties.
I have one more question, please.
Yes, sir, Mr. Sanders.
And these SR reports, online reports, have to be filed how soon each month? Is it the first of the month?
By the 25th. Their deadline is the 25th. There's a small grace period following the 25th.
It's been circulated, and our lessees should be aware of this requirement. This is not going to be a surprise to them?
It shouldn't be a surprise to them. Once the system was implemented in October 2009, we had been advocating that this could become mandatory, and we encouraged our payers, all of our payers, to use it.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? We have a motion. Is there anyone opposed to the motion? Hearing none, it's carried. Item 7.
Item number 7 is the staff report to the committee that the election for April 2012 gas is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry for the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement. And
Thank
that
you.
Concludes the agenda.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. There's no more items on the agenda, so we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Call to order the Legal and Title Controversy Committee. Mr. Angell or Mr. Harper?
Here.
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Cordera?
Here.
Mr. Diaz?
Here.
Mr. Ingram? Mr. Martin?
Here.
Sanders present. Ms. Smith? Mr. Smith?
Here.
Chip?
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum. You may proceed, sir.
Good morning.
Ma'am. Good morning, April. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
I'm not being disrespectful by calling you first name.
Okay, no problem. Item number 1 is a request by Swift Energy for the waiver of all or a portion of liquidated damages. This item was on the agenda last month, and I believe the month before, and both months we had requested that it be deferred to give Mineral Income a chance to work out some arrangements with Swift, and we are again asking that it be deferred. I think Mineral Income is still in the process of trying to resolve these issues. So we are going to ask that item number 1 is deferred until next month.
Any discussion by the board? Public comment? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, motion carries.
Item number 2 is a request by Aspect Resources LLC and Aspect Energy LLC for the waiver of all or a portion of liquidated damages. Again, this item was on the agenda for the past couple of months, and we had asked that it be deferred to give Mineral Income a chance to work out these issues, and we're again asking that it be deferred until next month.
Motion and a second. Any comment from the board? Public comment? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, carries unanimously.
Thank you. Item number 3 is a request by EXCO Operating Company LP and BGUS Production Company LLC for the waiver of all or a portion of liquidated damages. I don't believe this one has been on the agenda previously, but we are going to ask that this be deferred also. Mineral Income is in the process of working out some arrangements with these two companies.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Thank you, Mr. Segura. Any comment by the board? Comment from the public? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Item number 4 is a request by the staff for final approval of an operating agreement between the state and Apache Corporation. The board has previously authorized the staff to negotiate an operating agreement involving, former state lease numbers 6646 and 6647 in St. Bernard Parish within the TUSCRA NVUB. From that well, the state lease 6646 47, number 4 well. The staff has done that, has negotiated an operating agreement that is favorable to the state. The document has been executed, duly advertised, and is on the docket for final approval as item number 12-15, and the staff does recommend final approval.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Any comment to the board? Comment from the public? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, motion is adopted.
Item number 5 is a request by Petrohawk Properties LP for authority to escrow funds attributable to disputed acreage on State Lease 19887. What happened here was Chesapeake filed a petition for declaratory judgment, and the state is a party to that lawsuit, so is Petrohawk. Since there is no registry of the court accounts associated with petitions for declaratory judgment, there is nowhere to escrow these funds unless a private escrow account is established. So Petrohawk is therefore requesting permission to establish that private escrow account, and the state does recommend approving that request until that case is resolved, as opposed to the normal 90-day period. This would be subject to all of the other normal requirements set forth by the board and OMR.
Move to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Segura. Thank you, Mr. Smith, for the second. Any comment from the board? Comment from the public? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is adopted.
Thank you. Item number 6 is a request by QEP Energy Company for authority to escrow funds attributable to disputed acreage on State Lease 19398. This was also the result of a lawsuit that was filed by Chesapeake against the board in Red River Parish. This one was a concursus petition, and normally there is an order filed with the petition that allows the money to go into the registry of the court. However, with this particular case, for whatever reason, Chesapeake did not file that order, so there is no registry of the court account established for this case. And therefore, QEP has requested permission to establish a private escrow account where they would place the funds attributable to the disputed acreage. So, again, we do recommend granting this request as long as the concursus petition is pending, not for the normal 90 days, but subject to the other normal escrow requirements set forth by the board.
Move to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Smith, for the second.
Thank you.
Any comment from the board? Comment from the public? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously.
Item number 7 is a request by staff for authority to amend the state lease form itself to include an oil shut-in provision. The present lease form has a gas shut-in provision at $25 an acre. The reason for the oil shut-in provision would be twofold. In some instances that would not ordinarily be considered force majeure, a well is shut in, which is an oil well. And normally, if it had been a gas well, the lessee could hold the lease by payment of a shut-in payment. Whereas in the oil provision, there is none. The staff would like to add an oil shut-in provision similar to the gas shut-in provision, but at $50 an acre. The staff would also like to request that the lease form be amended so that the gas provision would now be $50 an acre rather than $25 an acre. And further, that it be a board policy that whenever a lessee requests amending an existing lease, in addition to the four paragraphs, the force majeure, if they don't already have the force majeure, that the board require that that lessee also include the oil shut-in provision as part of the amendment. So there are basically three provisions that the staff is requesting, that it amend the lease to include an oil shut-in provision at $50 an acre, that the gas shut-in provision be raised from $25 to $50 per acre, and that board policy require a lessee who requests amending a lease to include an oil shut-in provision in addition to the other required paragraphs. And you have, I think, when I provided a copy of a resolution that has the oil shut-in language that would be added to the lease.
Chair has a question. That'd be for all future new leases.
Correct.
Plus any time a request for force majeure.
That's correct. And again, the present force majeure clause has, if there is a shut-in provision available, that the lessee has to take advantage of that shut-in provision rather than rely entirely on force majeure. This works well for a gas well, but when there's an oil well, the only thing holding it would be a force majeure. So the state loses if it doesn't have such a provision.
Mr. Heck, that would include any other type of lease amendment, such as extension of primary term or whatever.
Correct. So, anytime the lease, anytime a lessee requests to amend the lease for any reason, they are also required to include the other four paragraphs. Well, this would be a paragraph that would also be required to be included.
And Rick, why did you say we're going from 25 to 50 on gas?
Well, the $25 an acre, which was originally put in back in the 70s, 60s, who knows. But the $50 an acre for most leases is not an undue amount, and yet it does provide additional. The new lease form that the staff put together that has been tabled had both an oil and a gas provision, and I think it was at $50 is what was recommended at the time in our study of the leases that we used.
I'd also like to add, too, on the $50 an acre, we've had some people voluntarily add this clause to their leases when they've come in for lease amendments, and no one has objected to the $50 an acre.
Thank you, Mr. Smith, for the motion. Second. Mr. Diaz, thank you for the second. Any comment from the public? Comment from the board? Further comment from the board or question? Any objection to the motion? Motion adopted. Thank you, Mr. Hagg.
Item number 8 is an update to an item that was on the agenda last month, wherein we requested the board to put JW Operating on demand and to assess liquidated damages and penalties against them for non-payment of royalty. Representatives from JW were here, and there was a discussion as to this whole series of events, and I won't go through everything again. But what the board did decide was that we would give JW 7 days from that last board meeting to at least enter into a joint agreement with the state wherein funds that were being held in an escrow account could be released. If they did not do that within 7 days, then we were going to put them on demand. And regarding the liquidated damages and the penalties, we had deferred that until this month, pending what happened. Since then, JW Operating has cooperated 100% with us. We did enter into a joint agreement with them wherein the funds that were in escrow would be released. Those funds have been released and received by the state, and JW has submitted the required SR9 reports that we require. All of our auditors are going through those reports. They haven't quite finished with them yet, but I've been told that so far everything looks really good and the numbers have all matched up. So as far as we are concerned, we would like to withdraw the request for the liquidated damages and penalties, and there is no longer a need to place JW Operating on demand.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for the motion. Mr. Good, did you second? I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, I missed you. Second for Mr. Smith. Chair has a question. Did you ever determine a reason why JW Operating took the position they did? Why we had to come down a little hard on them? And
we really didn't. The only thing that we could chalk it up to was miscommunication. And I guess we'll just kind of leave it at that. We never really determined an issue. And, you know, at this point, I don't think we really pursued it very much. We just wanted to get the funds out of escrow, which we did.
Besides which, at the time, we were dealing with Cohort Energy. Cohort Energy became JW. I think some different people involved as well.
And different attorneys representing Cohort and JW, and that seemed to make a difference.
Well, we don't lightly place people on demand at the board level. Do I hear any other discussion by the board? Any other question? public discussion or comment or question? Any objection to the motion? Motion adopted unanimously.
Okay. Item number 9 is a request by staff to again amend the state lease to include language which would allow the state mineral lessee to submit evidence that a state lease will participate in the drilling of an ultra-deep well, and by ultra-deep we mean 22,000 feet or below, and thereby have the board amend the lease by resolution to increase the normal 3-year primary term to 5 years. The reason for this is the board will probably have noticed over the past couple of months lessees coming in to ask for an extension of the primary term. There are also some leases for the May sale, which would normally have been advertised as inland 3-year primary term leases, but because there has been indication that these leases would participate in the drilling of an ultra deep well in a large unit, they had asked the board to for an original 5-year primary term on an inland lease, and the board granted it. Rather than have that be a continuous thing where companies come in and ask to extend the primary term because they're going to be drilling an ultra-deep well, the staff would like to amend the lease to include language which would allow the extension to 5 years if, again, the lessee would provide sufficient information such as a permit to drill an ultra-deep well or the formation of a large ultra-deep type unit. Again, I think you have language that I have provided in a provisional resolution. The board has already done this in one case for tertiary recovery. If you'll recall, it has allowed the amendment of the lease to include language that if the lessee can show that those leases would participate in a tertiary recovery unit, then the primary terms could be extended to 5 years. We'd like the same thing for the drilling of ultra-deep wells.
The chair has a question.
Yes.
This evidence or information, it has to come to you in a very formal way.
Correct.
Permit or?
Well, what the staff would require, and I'm using illustration, would be the permit or maybe the application, depending on how serious it is, for a permit to drill to 22,000 feet or below. That would be an indication that the lessee is going to include, or again, if he can show that there is going to be one of these large, 9,000 acre units or something like that are usually being created right now for ultra deep wells, in addition to other, plus an affidavit from the lessee that they would be participating in an ultra deep well. Those kinds of formal indications were what we would require.
I know of some of these, but where is the major concentration of these ultra deep wells? Is it in Cameron Parish and some over in?
Well, you have some in Cameron, some in Rockefeller,
yes.
Some in out in Vermilion. So it'll be in those areas, South Louisiana primarily.
We had any of those wells completed yet?
I think we have two. I'd have to ask Vic or Jason. I think we've had a couple of them completed.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. What was the question, Mr. Sanders?
How many of those ultra-deep wells have been completed?
Of the ultra-deep wells? None of them. I mean, the ones that we're looking at now are greater than 22,000 feet. Matt Moran drilled a couple at Mound Point. But right now, the two that we've been interested in that are being drilled by Chevron and Cameron and in Rockefeller, they're still drilling.
Is there an application pending in the Hayes area? Hayes, Louisiana area?
I'm not aware of it.
I don't think so. None that we've had meetings with the lessees. But that may be on private acreage too, so we might not even be a participant in it if it is.
The Main reason we're doing this is because of the tremendous cost associated with these ultra.
The cost, getting the proper rigs, putting together a partnership to be able to finance these wells, because again, they're hugely cost.
And the time, you know, the time to drill the well,
yeah,
and to evaluate the data that they get from the wells, the time to complete the well. The well in Cameron outside of Johnson's Bayou, that well, they were drilling on it about a year, and now that's the well that they've moved the rig off, and they're in the process of trying to refit the rig, fabricate a new blowout preventer to handle the pressures that they foresee in the next couple thousand feet that they plan on drilling. But it's just the time. They need time, once they drill these wells and complete the wells, they need time to evaluate the data that they receive from the drilling of the wells. And a three-year primary term just isn't enough time.
And there's this one that we know about, they've already spent
$65 million.
And they're $25,000.
$25,500, yes, sir. And they expect to spend another $25 million to get this well to TD. And that doesn't include the completion cost.
Okay. Is this, in your judgment, does this indicate a nice interest in the further development of properties in the areas where it's applicable?
I think the success that Mac Moran has had offshore, everybody's heard of Davy Jones and Blackbeard, the sections they're seeing out there, the equivalent section, you know, can be drilled in state waters, and that's what we're seeing. And we're probably going to see some more by some of the majors. Chevron, ConocoPhillips, all are interested in doing the ultra-deep.
Is it Energy 23 involved?
Energy 21, I think, 21. Is the interest owner in the Chevron well. One of them, for sure.
Thank you. I don't mean to hog the time. Any other discussion for the board?
I have a question. Basically, anything over 22.5 is considered to be ultra-deep.
That's what we're labeling as ultra-deep. We're kind of following a bill that's before the legislature right now, mm-hmm, that classifies anything greater than 22,000 feet as ultra-deep.
Mm-hmm. And the duration is typically a year to 18 months, 12 to 18 months?
It depends.
What's the longest you've seen?
Blueberry Hill was, what, 2 years?
Years. Yeah, Mac Moran on Blueberry Hill, they drilled a well, and then it took them a year just to get the pipe they needed to complete the well fabricated in Germany, mm-hmm, and to get it over here. Then the completion operations, it's probably been 3 years that it took them to finally drill and complete that well.
And what's the deepest well they've drilled in Louisiana?
Mac Moran, I think 24,000 feet out there.
So we're in new territory, so to speak.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you, just point of interest, did you see Energy 21 CEO interview yesterday on TV?
No, sir.
He was coming forth with some pretty good information. Thank you. Anybody else have a question?
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Thank you, Mr. Smith, for the second. Is there further discussion by the board? Any comment from the public? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion adopted unanimously.
Okay, item number 10 is a further request by staff to amend the state and state agency lease form to include language requiring the lessee or his successors and assigns to report production from or attributable to all or a portion of a state lease, both by LUE code and by well serial number beginning in January of 2013. The reason for this is that LUE codes are normally, or a lot of them are, a number of different wells, maybe even wells from different leases, may be lumped under one LUE code, and it's very hard for both G&E to try to ascribe the productive capabilities of a well
if it's lumped in under a LUCO with a number of other wells, maybe not even on state leases. Same thing with mineral income. It's hard to characterize production and match it up with what's reported as a royalty when it's reported as a LUCO, and that could be lumped in with production from other wells. So what we would like to do is require that our lessees, again, report by LUCO, and beginning in January of 2013, report by well serial number to both conservation and to the Office of Mineral Resources to mineral income. This gives all of the lessees some time to begin or to further get their records in order to be able to report by well serial number.
Chair has a question. The issue that we dealt with in the audit committee earlier, where there was, for some reason, we didn't know that the board didn't, or the state didn't know mm-hmm. about the production,
mm-hmm.
Will this tighten it?
Well, that was a little bit opposite situation, because what had happened was there was a unit well that was producing that was reported under a unit LUCO. There was a second well that was producing as a lease well that was then completed into the same sand as the unit, became a unit well, but it was still being reported under a lease LUCO. So it was a different LUCO. So it was hard to match up and say that both of these wells should have been reporting production under the unit when nobody noticed that until some time afterwards. Again, I think they said it was an overriding royalty owner that noticed that the well that had been producing as a lease well was now within the unit. And so I think that's a little bit different situation. I'm not sure that reporting by well serial number would have cleared that up, but in many cases it would clear up a lot of the problems that both G&E and Mineral Income have in ascribing production to a particular well.
Thank you. Other comment from the board?
Is this cause a lot of extra work for our lessees, or is it a trivial thing?
I'm not sure it does. I mean, I can't speak for the lessees because, again, in order to pay royalties on a unit basis, the well serial number or production by well serial number, I can guarantee you operators keep track of production by well serial number. So I'm not sure how much additional problems it would be, but again, it's not something that our lessees can't get a hold of. Even if they're not the operator of a unit, even if the lease is included in a unit and our lessee is not the operator, they can request of the operator that they show them the production attributable to that lease within the unit on the well serial number.
Question. I'm the chair. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for the motion. Thank you, Ms. Smith, for the second. Any further discussion by the board? Any comment or discussion from the public? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is adopted unanimously.
Item number 11 is a request, by Sunnyside Resources, Inc., for a one-year extension of the primary term of state leases 20047, 20048, and 20050. The leases were each granted by the state on May 13th of 2009 with three-year primary terms. Sunnyside was putting together a partnership, if you will, to drill a well, which fell apart. Then other problems arose which delayed further getting a well drilled. And so Sunnyside has come to the staff first and has presented evidence that there is a good probability that within the next year, they're putting together the partnership now, and they will drill a well within the next year. They are asking for an increase of the primary term of 1 year for the payment only of a full bonus on the leases, rather than also an increase of 0.5%. The reason being that the royalty on all of these leases is already at 26.5%, which is fairly high, in fact, highest in the area.
So the staff does recommend that the board authorize the extension of the primary term for those leases in return for a full bonus payment for each lease.
What was the full bonus payment, $2,000?
Excuse me?
What was the full bonus, the amount?
I'm not sure what they all were. We had them. Hang on. This is number 11. Okay. For 20047, it's $216,832. For 20048, it's $317,226. For 20050, it's $78,624 for a total of $612,682.
And they've already paid this rental twice, which is half of that, right?
Correct.
So we've been paying a bonus pretty much three times.
Well, they've paid it actually three times. Well, they've paid it twice. And these will be for 1 year extension.
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Your second? Ms. Smith, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I missed you. Second, Mr. Diaz. Any further discussion by the board? Public comment or discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is adopted unanimously.
Next item is our executive session.
Thank you. Chair will entertain a motion for executive session.
I'd like to move that we recess at this time to open the regular board meeting, and then we can reconvene the legal and title controversy committee meeting.
Your second? Any objection to the motion? I guess I'm to handle that in my section. Any objection? Public comment? Hearing none, adopted.
All right. Actually, we've got about 2 minutes, but I guess we can call the roll.
Mr. Harper?
Here.
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Diaz?
Here.
Mr. Ingram? Mr. Morton?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 10 members present and a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Talley. Yeah, I'd like to announce that we have a special guest here. Mr. Robert Smith is in the back corner here, and he's attending the meeting today.
Oh.
Thank you for attending. And he's not bored at all. All right, this time I'd like to call the regular meeting to order. Item 2 is the approval of the March 14th, 2012 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes? Moved by Mr. Arnold. Second by Mr. Smith. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. Item 3 is the adoption of the committee recommendations. At this time, we'll like to entertain a motion to adopt the committee recommendations of 3A, the Lease Review Committee, B, the Nomination and Track Committee, and C, the Audit Committee. Do I have a motion to accept those committee recommendations? A motion by Mr. Smith, second by Ms. Smith. Any questions or discussion on those committee recommendations? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Those recommendations of the committee are adopted. At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to recess until we can finish out the committee meetings, and then we will reconvene after.
Sanders moves.
Move for recess by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Arnold. Any public comment? Any questions? All in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. We are in recess. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you.
Chair will call the Legal Entitled Committee back into session, please. Mr. Heck, Ms. April.
At this time, I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session for the legal and title controversy.
Second.
That's for items 12 and 13.
Right.
How you doing, dear?
Is there anyone opposed? Any comments or questions? Hearing none, we're in executive session.
How you doing? How you doing? Okay. You know you can get it online. By. I do also. She may not. I know that lady.
Okay.
Chair will call the Legal Entitled Controversy Committee to order. Maybe we should call the roll since we've had an absent period. Ms. Harper? Okay, we...
I make a motion to come out of executive session.
Thank you. Any comment from the board? Public comment about coming out of executive session? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, motion carries. And we're going to reconvene the... I'll have to get legal advice, Mr. Heck. Do we need to call the roll again?
No, you don't.
Thank you.
All right.
We have one item, Mr. Heck, that we've been dealing with in the executive session.
Two, actually.
Two.
Yes, 12.
Item number 12 was merely a discussion in executive session and requires no action from the board.
Thank you.
Item 13 was a presentation of a counteroffer to the state's counteroffer by Chesapeake regarding the operating agreement on the track known as the All-Britain Track. And after discussion and in open session, the staff recommends that that counteroffer be rejected.
Chair will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Ms. Smith, thank you. Mr. D. Smith, thank you for the second. Any public comment? Any board comment or discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is adopted unanimously. Thank you. That's a fine-looking young man over there, Mr. Smith. Looks just like you. Kind of like your mama, though. His mama a little bit. No, daddy. Thank you.
There are no other items on legal and title.
None other?
None other.
I move to adjourn legal and title.
Thank you, Mr. Segura. You'll hear a second. Thank you, Mr. Diaz, for the second. Any objection? Motion carries.
The Docket Review Committee to order. We're called to have a quorum. Mr. Harper? Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold?
Present.
DeMille?
Here.
Mr. Ingram? Mr. Martin?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Darrell Smith?
Here.
Helen Smith?
And here.
Mr. Klein? We have a quorum. Mr. Dennis, would you please give the committee your report?
Good morning.
Recommendations, thank you.
The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the April 11, 2012 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve items number 1 through items number 3. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number 1 through items number 23. Items 24 and 25 will be deferred as per mineral income. Please approve items number 26 through items number 28. For Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transfers, there were no items submitted for this category. For Category B, D, advertised proposals, please approve item number 1, and this will complete the staff's recommendations to the docket review committee.
Are there any public comments to the staff's recommendations? Are there any comments from the board? Do I have a motion to accept the staff's recommendation? Mr. Sanders? Mr. Smith, second. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. The staff recommendations are approved. I have a motion to adjourn the docket review committee.
Move.
Sanders?
Mr. Smith? Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The docket review committee is now adjourned.
All right. With all the committees taken care of, I'd like to reconvene the regular board meeting. Do I have a motion to come out of recess? Anyone? Motion? Mr. Smith? Second by Ms. Smith. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We are back in regular session. We'll take up with item 3, D, and E, the adoption of the legal and title controversy committee, 3D, and 3E, the adoption of the docket review committee recommendations.
I move adoption of 3D and E.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Smith. We have a motion by Ms. Smith to accept the committee recommendations of 3D and E. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Smith. Any questions? Any comments, public comments? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Item 4 is our executive session for our technical briefing. Are we ready for our... We're not ready? You ready? Okay, this time I'd like to entertain a motion to go into executive session for our technical briefing. Motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, that motion carries. We're going to be in recess for just a second. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Make a motion to come out of executive session.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold. We'll come out of executive session. Do you have a second? Second by Mr. Sanders. Any questions or discussion? If not, all in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. We're back in regular session. Mr. Vaughn, could you give us your technical briefing on the bids?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On track number 42584, the staff recommends the bid of Louisiana Energy and Acquisition and Development, LLC, for $104,208 bonus and $501 an acre, and 21% be accepted. Track number 42585, the staff recommends the bid of Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. The bid was for $116,733. Price per acre was $501, and the royalty was 21%. The staff would recommend that bid be accepted. On track number 42586, the staff recommends Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development LLC's bid of $7,014. The price per acre is $501, and the royalty is 21%. We recommend that bid be accepted. On track number 42587, the staff recommends the bid of Louisiana Energy Acquisition and Development, LLC. The bid was for $124,248. The price per acre is $501 an acre, and 21%. We're recommending that bid be accepted. As to the remaining tracks receiving bids, we're recommending that all of those bids be accepted. That concludes our recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Vaughn. Any questions or discussion on those bids? Any public comment? We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept the staff's recommendations on those bids and award those leases. Second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Those bids are awarded as leases. Announcement. I'd like to recognize Representative Jeff Arnold here in back for attending. And do we have any other announcements?
Yes, sir. The total for today's lease sale was $834,086.54, bringing the fiscal year-to-date total to just under $24 million. And also, I want to announce that the annual oil and gas conference hosted by the department will be held at the Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans again, and it'll be August 15th through the 17th.
All right, great. Also, in the back of your packet is the revenue and production report, so you may want to remove it and take it home and go through it. If there's no further business, I'd like to thank Mr. Robert Smith for joining us again, and he's welcome back anytime. And we have a motion to adjourn by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. Smith. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you. We'll see you next month.